Hey everybody, it's the live edition of Two Legs. It's Tom Hunyadi, it's Andy Nichols. How you all doing? We're doing fine. Looking forward to doing our part four of our 101 favorites Macca songs countdown. How y'all doing? We hope you're having a good week so far. It's Tuesday, it's early in the week. Andy, how's it going?
I'm doing good. And as the DJ on 101.1 here in New York used to say, and the hits just keep on coming.
And there's the phone.
Right on cue. Yeah.
Another hit. Yeah. Anyways, but yes, before we get to the countdown, Susan, how you doing? How you doing, Tom, Paulina? The lyrics book's coming out. All right, November 2nd, and BBC Radio 4 has a new podcast. Was it like 10 episodes long? Very short episodes, and they're Paul basically talking about, or he's reading the excerpts from some of the tracks that he talks about in the book. One being Too Many People, which is going to be what we're going to be talking about a little bit today. So I heard about this earlier this morning, finally got to listen to it. I told you about it. You got to listen to it, and very interesting stuff. And Paul's been really candid lately years. Yeah. You're liking it. Let me turn this volume off here. It's really interesting of what he says here with Too Many People. And I don't know how many people out there have heard about this. So Susan's probably already heard them. Those Paul short clips are great. But as good as the Too Many People one was, there's still some inaccuracies there. And yeah. I think it's time, personally, that Paul has a historian with him on these things, because if I remember correctly, there was a few things that he misspoke about during the McCartney 3-2-1 series as well.
Yes, he did. So, his faculties are a little, I don't want to say slipping, but he's getting a few facts incorrect here. And he did with Too Many People in this little clip that dropped. So he basically talked about how he was responding to How Do You Sleep? But how do you sleep? It came out after Paul.
Right.
Paul,
6 months after.
Right. He got his train big time. Right. May Ram came out in May and Imagine came out in September. So, come on, Paul, you're not responding to How Do You Sleep? Come on, man.
Right. And it's hard to defend him. When he misspeaks like this, you really can't.
You can, though. And I will, because I just. He's not responding. I get what he's going for, but what else he was talking about in that interview, talking about, breaking up and dealing with Yoko and stuff like that. That's the truth. That's honesty. And that is that I applaud him for, because he's like, you know what? Enough of this 40 years of sugarcoating. And I listen, John is not here to defend himself. I understand it, but I'm sick and tired of Paul being portrayed as the villain. So good up for him for just getting it off his chest and saying what it really is. Sorry, I agree.
Right. Yeah, but there's still no excuse for saying that John was firing these missiles in songs first. What he should have said is that they were having kind of like a war of words in the press. As we've been talking about with our good friend Anthony Rotunno in our Best Friends series, which we hope to get part three out in December. So he really should have worded it differently.
Yeah, missiles, as he called them.
Right.
he should have worded it differently.
Right.
Yeah, Susan said, but I think he was talking about John's public put-downs and not necessarily How Do You Sleep.
Right.
Yeah. And then the whole, and we don't know the truth of that, Alan Klein just told him to put it on there. I don't know if that's 100% accurate either.
Well, that's the thing. That's where my understanding is that, when recording the song or writing the song, Klein did add that since you've gone, you're just another day. The only thing you've done was yesterday. So, and this is coming from John. Is it 100% accurate? Maybe. But again, we weren't there. So, But a couple other things that, you know, he talked about that were really interesting. And one of them was he's talking about, you know, when he's singing Piece of Cake, you know, he said piss off cake. And then if you do, you know, probably, you know, put some headphones on and listen to it, you could probably hear him say piss off cake. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting as well. Yeah. And then the other thing I thought was really interesting too was the war is over. You know, where how he, you know, kind of feels that maybe they were a bit naive, you know, thinking this, and then maybe that, you know, he said it's a great sentiment, but, you know, yeah, right, you know, war is over if you want
it. If everybody wants war to be over, that'll be over, but they don't.
It'll be over. Right?
That's what he said. And, you know, I applaud him for this. I really do. I'm sorry. I like that he's speaking so frankly in his ripe old age.
Right. Let's see here. Oliver's here. How you doing, Tony? Knock, knock. Who else is here?
Thank you, Oliver.
Brad, how you doing? Jason. Yeah. Beans. Good to see you guys here. So we're going to get to the, I'm definitely going to check out the other bits here. I mean, they look like they're very short.
They're short.
Tony, yes, yeah, Ram was, yeah, May. It was. Yeah,
May of 71
was Ram, and then September of 71 was Imagine, yes.
Yes. They are very short. There's one on Pretty Boys. There's one on Here Today. There's one on...
Which is surprising.
Yeah. And of course, you knew they had to drop the Here Today one because he spoke so freely in the Too Many People one. So let's talk about one that we wrote about that we, you know, sung, you know, nicely about John. So,
right. Yeah, true. So we definitely want to check out the rest of them. Hopefully I can get to a couple tonight, and then I got the next 2 days off.
Yeah, they're very quick. Right. Yeah, true. Yeah. He does. That's an anti-war song. True, Tony. Pipes of Peace is.
And listen, let's be frank. You know, Paul at the time wasn't preaching anything, but he's sure in the hell preaching stuff now. You know, his Meat Free Monday. You know,
yes.
You know his animal activism. I mean, he just got a lot of stuff that he is. He's got an agenda.
Causes now.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, he is practicing or preaching practices now. And I talked about this before with other people back then when he wrote it. You know, he really didn't have an agenda. You know, he was just, you know, being tired of hearing what he should be doing from John and Yoko. You know,
right.
And he was very candid about it. You know, he said he worked really hard, you know, to accept Yoko being in the studio, you know, which, you know, fine, you know, and it's just a really, you know, telling piece, you
it
know,
so is.
It's really making me curious to read the rest of the stuff. And I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation about it when we review the book in a couple weeks.
Absolutely.
So, before we get started, I do want to show off the new 3333333333, you know, splatter. It's interesting because it's not a gatefold like the rest of them. No gatefold, but you do get a nice poster in there. I do like the back yellow.
That is kind of cool. Here.
Yeah. The spine though is the dark gray with the three lines in there, because you know, if you remember correctly, the green target and the red third man, they had the red spine and the green spine. Yeah. I was kind of surprised that the spine wasn't yellow on this one, but cool. I highly doubt that this is 180 gram vinyl because it does feel a lot lighter and a little flimsier.
Which Fly By Night record company produced this one?
Whatever.
I can't keep track of all these freaking releases with this record.
Right. And this is an indie store exclusive. I understand, but yeah. Whatever. So there you go. You know, looks sharp. You know, Third Man did a great job with all the colors. For the McCartney 3 campaign.
How many did they run of that? Was that a limited edition or?
Yeah, 3,333.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's a big poster in here. I don't want to open the whole thing up, but you see here, you know, Maiden Rockdown. Hey guys, hi. Watching for hey Robert, hey, how you
Robert.
Doing?
Robert, yeah. I hope you eat something good.
Yeah. I do want to thank Susan because she was the one of the, I think she was the first person to tell us about this. And I'm sort of sorry I didn't respond, Susan, because at a, for a moment there, I actually didn't believe it. I was like, he's not going to release another McCartney 3. There's no way. I thought it was just a rumor, you know, but then a couple days later we got the announcement for it. So, but, so yeah, that's that. I got a few more goodies coming in the mail here soon. I'm really, really excited about, I did pick up the first Fireman record on vinyl. So excited about that. I've got the, Come On People Pitcher Sleeve 45 coming. So,
playing catch up. About I bought it 20 years ago. Do you want to see mine?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I know what it looks like.
Okay.
So yeah, still playing catch up. I will eventually catch up. And you know, because here's the thing.
UK import, right?
Yeah, but it's coming from Canada.
Oh.
Yeah. So another interesting thing then too is what he talked about that we got yesterday is that, you know, he's not doing any more autographs.
Yes.
Peace and love. Yes. Beetle Brad got it as well. A bunch of people got it. I know a bunch of the vinyl community or the YouTube community, podcasting community got their yellow splatter. So, so with 3,333, hopefully, you know, everybody that wanted one got one. I do see a bunch on the on eBay for sure, you know. So, I would definitely have preferred bonus tracks over another colored McCartney 3.
Yeah,
exactly, Susan. This is, I'll say this is my 10th copy on vinyl and hopefully the last.
I mean, I think I have eight. I mean, I'm not any right. better, but
no,
I mean,
right, exactly.
I think I have eight, but I mean,
there's got to be a line.
God, there's that line, and it's enough.
And it just keeps going back and keeps going back.
No more autographs. Okay. Well, yeah. I'll treasure mine then for all eternity.
Well, there you go. You've got one. You know, I've never been in that situation to where, you know, I would get close enough to try to get an autograph, let alone even, you know, spending the thousands of dollars that it takes to get one. And I'm fine with it because I know I'll never be anywhere near, you know, Paul to get one, you know, and I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars to get one.
To buy one. So, no,
yeah,
that's
to buy one. Yeah.
That's silly.
No. So I'm good. If he feels that way, it is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Yeah. Drum roll, please.
Yeah. Drum roll. Actually, no, next week is the moment.
Yes.
That'll be fun. However, part four of our countdown. This is 40 to 21. Andy, you are going first today. If you guys are participating, please go ahead and start now with your number 40. Andy, kick us off, my friend.
Well, for week number four of this fun series, I'm going to go. Jay, funny, you just mentioned McCartney 3. My number 40 is a song from McCartney 3.
Cool.
And that would be Seize the Day.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed Seize the Day from the minute the album dropped at the end of 2020. I love the vibe of the song, the message of the song. And I think it's a great melody, you know, when the cold wind blums and all that stuff. I love all that. And again, the great fate, just the great kind of just how he jams out and it just ends in the middle of nowhere. Lou, come on. Tasso, this guy takes a cake for all the pick for all the oddities. But
I'm sure his number one will be P.S. Love Me Do.
I'm sure it will be. But just the whole sentiment when the cold wind comes and the I just love it. It's a nice. I think it's a very reflective song for the certain age, the age that he's at.
Right.
And I don't care to be bad. I don't care to be right. Yankee. I love that. I love the rhyming in that song. So
And I do like the verses better than I like the choruses on that. So I kind of like half like the song, and I do like what he does that. I don't care to be whatever. I dig it. It's fine. Didn't make my list though, unfortunately, but good track. That's
what makes the world go round. You're up.
Exactly. 40. We're continuing with Egypt Station. And I've got Happy With You, the nice little acoustic ditty from that album. Always liked that track. Remember we opened Talk More Talk with our review of Egypt Station, and we had Womack on the time, and he pointed out that, you know, people think that Paul's singing about Nancy on this track, but he's really singing about himself, which is a great perspective. Which, you know, I didn't think about that at the time. And then now once you get that in your mind, it's like, oh yeah, it's very, it's very obvious that he's singing about himself in this song, and he's happy with himself. And, and I thought that was great. You know, love it.
Throw a pocket full of coins in the Trevi Fountain.
Yeah, Fountain. That. Yes, exactly.
Love that lyric. Love that lyric. Yeah.
You know, I used to stay out all day. You know, I used to get stoned. You know, I used to drink too much. You know, so.
These days I don't.
Yeah, because I'm happy with you. So 40 for me.
Good track. And again, I key Egypt Station album track for sure. And a highlight on that record. Yeah. Awesome. 39, we're going to Off the Ground and The Lovers That Never Were. The Lovers That Never Were. I think that might be a little bit higher on your list, probably.
Now, which version are you going with, though?
The regular one on the album.
Okay.
The one on Off the Ground. I know that demo, with Elvis and everything, is and that's awesome, too. It's so raw, and they're on it. But I love the production on The Lovers That Never Were. It's got Paul really kicking ass on the vocals on that track, you know, and the drums that kind of get the production. It's a big production, that number, Lovers That Never Were. Mm-hmm. And I love that, you know, and as long as the trees blow down blossoms and he goes up the E, I love that.
Right.
I just love the crashing drum sound in that song. So The Lovers That Never Were at 39 from Off the Ground. I could have went with the demo, but I mean, that would have been on Flowers in the Dirt, but I don't know. Right. That's always, I know a lot of people think that song is a little overproduced, but I thoroughly enjoy that version of it.
Okay, cool. 39 for me is the second last track that I'll have for Egypt Station. We'll have to wait one more week for my last pick for Egypt Station. But this is Nothing for Free, which was one of the bonus
tracks.
Yeah, from the Target exclusive. We got Nothing for Free. And this is just so, you know, off the wall McCartney, very, you know, possibly fireman-ish kind of thing. And I just love that.
Yes.
Okay. you know, and it's love that you don't get nothing for free.
Yeah,
just a great upbeat track. And you know, it's funny because you know I'll play my iPod at work, you know, and sometimes I'll work with you know younger kids in the kitchen and you know, millennials or Gen Z or whatever, and that song will come on, and sometimes I'll play it on purpose just to get the, you know, a sense of if they dig it or not. And a lot of younger kids that I worked with, you know, they said they enjoyed that track.
Do they like it?
Yeah.
Let's catch up on some rankings here. Tom Brennan's got The Pound Is Sinking at 39. Paulina's got She Said Yeah from Run Double Run. Love that track. Tony DeMeo's got Distractions at 39. Knock Knock's got one of my all-time favorites, Back on My Feet at 39.
Yes, that's right.
Susan's got Dear Boy at 39. Serge has got That Was Me. We're just talking about that before we kicked off our show tonight. Cool. Very cool. And the Queen's here. Hi, you kid.
Queen.
Good show there the other night there, Kit, on Let It Be. You guys did a very good job reviewing Let It Be on Talk More Talk. That was a fun watch.
Thank you.
Tony, he thinks Tom would have had Nothing for Free much higher. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, it's possible. I think that's a pretty high showing for that track, to be honest with you. But
I knew you'd have that song in there, because I remember you telling me really how much you liked that song.
Yeah. I really dig Nothing for Free, for sure. But we're at 38, and it's your turn.
38 for me. I'm going similar from those sessions, but they were not on an album. It was the double A side. I'm going with In a Hurry at 38.
Ah, nice. Yes, very good.
Yeah. I'm pretty vocal about how much I enjoy this song. We did a show on it. One of my first shows with Tom when the double A side single came out.
Record Store Day
in November. Was it November?
I think it was the Black Friday one. Yeah.
In a Hurry. It was in Tom's list last week. Right. Absolutely. I do not get tired of In a Hurry. I almost put it in the top 20, but I said, the top 20 is rarefied air, so I really can't put it there. But it was close. I almost put it in the top 20, but I had to get in the top 40. I love In a Hurry. The Never Too Late to Celebrate over and over again. The horns in it.
Right.
The melody coming back in it towards the end. It's just phenomenal. It's like, it's an earworm, that one that I can never, ever, ever get tired of listening to. And easily one of the strongest songs that he's written in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Serge, you've got a great song at number 38, and I love it, but I didn't include it because one, Paul didn't write the song, and that was one of the stipulations for this countdown, or well, at least one of the challenges for this countdown. And believe me, I probably would have put that song in my top 10 if Paul had a hand in writing that track.
I think you definitely would have.
Oh, and easily in my top 10. This is the Best Love, might possibly be my favorite song that he sung on somebody else's, album or project or whatever. It's just that good. Okay, so we're at 38.
And you're up.
Yes, I love this song from the moment I heard it, and it's ooh, ooh. What do you do? Spies Like I Dance Like You. I love Spies Like Us. Been a fan of it since I saw the video in 85.
So you knew the song. You knew the song when it came out. You saw the video.
Yes, yes, yes. Saw the video. Movie, not that good. But
great song, great video.
Great song, great video. I mean, if you want to watch the movie, just watch it for Dan Aykroyd's wife at the time, because she's a knockout. But the song, I think it's something that he could easily do live. And today, I mean, I love that.
And not to cut you off, but I know you make a good point of this with this track, and I always forget it, but you always bring it up, is that it was his last top 10 in America.
Last top 10 in America until the Kanye West thing, collaboration. No,
that don't count. That don't count.
But again, I mean, it's not vocally challenging. I mean, he can do this live. Wicks could handle all the sound effects. Maybe he can, Paul can still play a great bass. And Kit knows.
He loves his Spies Like Us, and he's got all the 12 inch. He's got the two of the 12 inch singles you have now in the picture.
So I think I've got everything Spies Like Us now in the collection. So
actually, the demo version is just as good, in my opinion.
Right.
Yep. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, how'd you do?
What do you do? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how'd you do? He says, how you do on the demo? But
right. But I think it's altogether fun song. Very catchy. And I think it was a good deserving of a top 10. So
absolutely. Paulina has 38, Eat at Home, everyone's favorite song, according to Fab Gab. Oh, that's right.
Yes, I know. A lot of people had Eat at Home high, I think.
Yeah, Joe Mayo and our friend Matt Street, they did a really cool Fab Gab of Ram, which I was able to catch out after the fact. We'll be hearing that. So we'll be mentioning that song in a little bit.
Really? Okay.
37,
partner.
Oklahoma 37. Was never like this.
Wow.
Okay. Press. Right. The main mix, the main version from the album. Overlooked song because it was on Press to Play, which a lot of people just like to just hate. But we've spent quite a bit. We've talked about Press to Play a lot on our show.
We have.
Michael has. I mean, it's been given a lot of evaluation with us on our shows recently. But I mean, Press is just one hell of a catchy song. I mean, I know it doesn't really go anywhere. The lyrics don't make a whole lot of sense, but I love it. And again, the video too of him on the underground, just with ordinary people. I love that. I love.
And it's something that he still does. He goes on the subway. He you see pictures of him just hanging out on the subway. So right.
Absolutely love Press. Again, full of that 80s kind of Hugh Padgham production. So it is a little dated now, but I still enjoy, I enjoy the track.
Right. Cool. Well, you know, for my 37, we're going to stick. Oh, go ahead. Good call, Andy. Yep. Press. Yep. Yeah, exactly. One of the best. We're going to stick with press to play here with my 37, and we're going with Footprints. Okay. You know, I've talked very highly of Footprints before. I love the production. I love the arrangement out there. I love Paul's vocal approach on that song. And it's just, you know, it's beautiful outside, you know. And I just love how he's just, you know, when he's singing, you know, he likes it in the snow, you know,
yep.
Where footprints never go. You know, exactly. You know, just a really cool track. And I think it's starting to get a little bit more appreciation over the years. And it's, I think if you don't like it, if you haven't listened to it for a while, go back and check it out. Now, hopefully maybe your opinion on that track.
Mine did because yeah. It was one I really didn't give a second thought to until you kind of told me about how good it was. And I listened to it again. And I'm like, it's got that distractions like quality.
Right. Exactly. Which, you know, distractions came afterwards, obviously, but I can see like, if you were a fan of distractions prior to Footprints, I think you kind of should like Footprints.
That's why I like it, because I like distractions first. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So Footprints is my 37.
Very cool. We're going to stay with the 80s for mine, and we're going back to Flowers in the Dirt, and we're going with this one. Really probably in a demo form on any way you slice it. I've played this song to friends who aren't even Beatle fans, and they hear that song, and they're like, man, that's one catchy tune.
Right.
You know, the whole, did I ever? Yes. I mean, it's got the charm of a Beatles song to me.
Right.
It's got that Beatles. This parts of this one have that Beatle quality to it. The key changes in it. If I never did it. I mean, that just sounds like a Beatles song.
Right.
That was the only way. It's got that Beatle-like quality to it to me.
For another moment that didn't come.
You know, and again, like a lot of Paul songs, it does kind of. It has a jam at the end of it, right? No More Lonely Nights, this one, and no different. You know, and I absolutely love the demo version too. It just opens up, you know, on the piano ballad. What opportunities did we? I mean, oh God, this is brilliant songwriting. And Tom Brennan has it at 36.
Look at that! Yes,
there you go, Tom Brennan for the win. See, there you go. Very nice.
Very good. Love it.
So this one is my 36.
Excellent. Love it. Let's see, Robert. Okay, very good.
Footprints is the second of two good songs on the album. Oh, Robert's not a fan of Press to Play.
Obviously. Okay, so I got 36 now?
Yes, indeedy.
Okay. The worldwide number one that wasn't number one here. We're going back to 77 for the Mall of Kintyre. You know, the non-album smash hit outsold what She Loves You was it that
at that time
it was the highest selling 45 of all time for a period of time. And Mull of Kintyre, I think, is just a fabulous song. I know
I am a little Denny surprised song. I thought it would be in the top 20. I did.
You know, I thought about it too, but you know, again, you know, we talk about it, you know, it's there, but there's so many other songs that I love more. I love the, you know, all the videos for it are great, but it's Paul's vocals that really do it for me. You know, and the lyrics are fine. You know, we got to give Denny some credit
for
the track as well. Yeah, exactly. And I just think the bagpipes work very well with this track as well. It's just perfect.
It's very, very moving. And it's, as Paul describes, it's a let's bust out the ale and have a sing around.
Yes.
That's what that song is.
I would imagine a lot of people got pissed that night.
Quite a few.
Right.
Quite a few.
Yes. You know, and so 36, I got them all.
Smiles in the Sunshine and Tears in the Rain. I love
rain.
That lyric.
Yes.
Love that lyric. Still take me back to where my memories remain. Like getting welled up thinking about that. Tony, I love it. Though that actually was officially released as a download with Flowers in the Dirt. So it was on a bootleg, okay? But it was officially released as a download only on Paul's website. And the demo version, I think, is just as good as the official version of this one.
Excellent.
Let's catch up on some rankings here. Fiends has got Off the Ground, La 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 La, at 36. Paulina has Hope for the Future at 36. First time I think we've heard that song mentioned.
Yeah, Hope for the Future.
Anybody.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Jasso's got Eleanor Rigby and Eleanor's dreams. Susan has early days at 36.
Hopefully he's doing his least favorite Mecca song countdown.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Serge has got the Bluebird from the Wings Over America version, which it's interesting he brings that up. Because I have a couple of songs in this episode here that are from Wings Over America, and there's a reason I went for them over the studio versions, and we might as well go with 35 for me, and that is Beware My Love from Wings Over America.
And you're going the live version.
With the live version. I'm going with the live version for a couple of biggies here in this list, in this ranking. Because I just think that they have more guts live. Mm-hmm. I think that they just, I mean, Beware My Love, the studio is as you talked about last week when you chose it, the way it opens up and it fades. That's awesome. Right. But for me, when you watch Rock Show and it gets to that and it just pans out, it's like, you're like, he's screaming and the Joe English is going ridiculously on the drums. Like, I mean, it's like Wings, when they're doing songs like that, almost like a harder rock band. You know, you watch those performances, you tell me that this is a bubblegum music. Get the hell out of here. That is those guys are.
That's arena rock, baby. Arena rock.
And they smoke it. When those songs on Wings Over America, you know, Beware My Love, and the ones that I have picked here, I went because they are just off the charts. Awesome. They're just rocking out as well. So thank you, Brad. Yes, Brad agrees. So, Beware My Love. You know, and the whole thing, you better beware. Boom.
Yeah, boom. Off. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, great pick. You know, and you're right. I mean, I can't disagree with anything you say about the live version. You know, it's just I tend to like that build-up.
The build-up, which is cool.
Right.
And I guess he felt that wouldn't work in a live setting, so he just
said, no, not at all. No, but it's brilliant the way it opens. I mean, we just go with Jimmy's guitar, and then, you know, you're off and running, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
it's still great either way. 35 for me, we're going with the B-side of Mull and A-side here.
Three cheers for the girls.
Hip hip. Hip hip.
Hip
hip. Hip
hip. Hip hip. Wow. Oh man.
Girls School. You know, again, just a great all-around rocker. Man, how cool would this been for the 79 tour?
Oh my God. Can you imagine? You know?
Yes. Jimmy is still with the band for this. Was recorded early on in the Wings. London Town sessions. Yep. This would have really gave London Town some balls.
That would have given London Town a little more of a rocking edge than,
exactly.
You know, I've had enough.
I've had enough for name of address.
For name of address.
Yes. I mean, Girls School would have definitely given that album a little bit more balls, but I like, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, he's in Hawaii vacationing. He's got, you know, one of those dirty magazines, and he's taking inspiration from that. So the lyrics are fun.
Yuki's a cool school mistress. She's an Oriental princess.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Before we get into trouble, let's go with 35 of Girls School. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great ranking partner.
One of my second highest non-album B-side.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very.
No, sorry. Third highest.
Very, very politically incorrect these days. Tony.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I love to hear him. I love to hear him when he's interviewed about this one on the box set when it comes out. What were you saying there, Paul? Now he's like 80-year-old grandpa. I wrote it when I was about 38 years old, you know, so. Oh, man.
So that was my third highest ranking of a non-album B-side.
Of a non-album B-side.
Yeah, so I got two more.
So you got two more of these.
More non-album B-sides.
I know one of them for sure.
You have to wait and see.
And it came out in 1982. Win. Because you know I'm right. Let's say 34. Continuing with the live win with Wings Over America, I'm going with Letting Go.
Okay.
Do you feel like letting go? Again, what you hear, you know, tell me, do you feel like letting go? I mean, again, You watch it live, you listen to it live, especially when it gets to that part, you know, when the Trump towards the last verse of the song. Oh, she sings it so I want to hear her on the radio. Right. One day, there you are, ladies and gentlemen, a brand new start. He just screams it. Ah, can't get enough of that in a live version. I absolutely love these songs in a live context. Not that I wouldn't listen to them on the album, but man, live is just the best.
Yeah. No, great. I agree. It's definitely one of the highlights on the live album for me too. And plus, you got real horns. You know.
Yes.
You know. For the win, you know, you got real horns going on right there.
And Thaddeus Richard, Howie Casey, you know, all those guys, Steve Howard, all of them.
Bam, done. Okay,
Howie Casey from Derry and the Seniors, an old Liverpool band, for those of you watching.
Right. So that was 34?
34, yes.
Okay. I'll do my 34, and then we'll go back and check out some comments here. Mm-hmm. We're going with Memory Almost Full, and that's one of the tracks from the so-called last trilogy, or last medley that he did since, since Abbey Road, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that's... And that's Vintage Clothes. Love this track. I love what he's talking about. I love the instrumentation. Love the, you know, everything about this. I love, you know, just how he sings the track. I love, you know, Little Tall, Little Small, you know, Check the Rack, What Went Out Is Coming Back.
Don't live in the past.
Don't live in the past. Yeah, exactly. But in a way, we do, you know, especially with music.
Especially with music. We're talking about trying to get a 40 or 50 years old. So who's living in the past? Us.
Don't hold on to something that's changing fast.
Yeah.
You know, again, I think it's one of the best tracks on Memory Almost Full, and I dig it. I would love to hear them do this track live.
Yeah, again, it has a little bit of that Wings feel. Don't live in the past. You know, you hear in the chorus the harmonies there.
Yeah, there's some harmonies. Yeah, which we don't get a lot of these days from Paul anymore.
No, not at all. And that was always a key track too. A great pick for Memory Almost Full, partner.
Yep.
30. It was 34. So yep. 33.
Well, let's check out some comments here first. Let's go.
Comments. Let's catch up on comments before we go move ahead of here. 34. Brad's got high. Knock Knock's got Getting Closer. Beans was Flying to My Home, which is always a favorite song.
Yep.
Tony's got The Backseat of My Car. Interesting. That's a biggie. Susan's got With a Little Luck. These are some home runs.
Yep.
Tom's got Jets.
Yeah.
Tony thinks Josh's trolling. Okay.
Hey, who cares?
Sergeant
not hurting anyone.
I have it on a Sunday from Flaming Pie.
Right. It's like a Loggins and Messina track.
Yeah. what else? Beans, let's see. Ouyou catching up on that.
Wow, that's an interesting one.
Very high ranking for
for an ad lib song. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. I'm catching up. All right. So moving ahead, 33. For me, and I'm going to actually go back to the studio for this one, but I'm going with Maybe I'm Amazed, the regular version from McCartney. Yeah.
Wow. At 33.
At 33. Why?
The song that so many people consider the best solo song he's ever done. And you got it at 33.
Yeah. 33. I almost didn't even rank it on here. I could have put something from Kisses on the Bottom instead.
Now you're going studio, right?
Studio version from the McCartney LP with the fade in on the piano. Yes.
Right.
Not the 1977 mega smash that, you know, got played.
Top 10 hit.
You know, listen, it has to be on the list. The overplayed factor. I like that it's kind of gotten a couple of releases on the UK, All the Best had this one. I think that version. What else? I did, and I'm trying to remember. Pure McCartney. I can't remember if it was Should Have Gone. Okay. Nah. See, but the Wings Over America version, I can't with that one because that one's been played to death. That one's on. I mean, my 88-year-old grandma knows that song.
As great as Jimmy's solo is on that one, I really dig Paul's solo on the studio
original. Game. Absolutely.
Yeah, the original, right.
Yeah. So it's got to be in there. There's not much else we need to say. It's maybe I'm Amazed. So I had to work it in there somewhere. And if I had to go with a version, I'm going to go with the studio one.
Okay. Cool. 33 for me. It's the track that follows Vintage Clothes, and it's That Was Me. Again, I just love the 1-2 punch of Vintage Clothes and That Was Me on that first medley since Abbey Road. And lyrically, I think it's great. I really just love how he's just, you know, picking out moments in his life. So he's kind of like just painting a collage of his life with this song. You know, he's just letting us know. I mean, yeah, because, you know, he wants us to know these things now. I mean, we talk about now, why is he speaking up about all of this stuff now? And it seems like he's doing that with this song as well, letting us know that what, you know, that was him. And I just love the bass throughout the song. I think it was really, really cool. And I got That Was Me at 33. Again, that's another one I would have loved to see him do live. But Memory Almost Fly, you know, it's a great album, and I think this the medley is not a medley in my opinion.
No, it's not
because
a true,
they really don't connect like a medley, these tracks.
No, you know? and if there was a real medley, you'd hear riffs of the other songs
right.
somewhere toward right. the end, like another certain right. medley, which we're gonna hear next week on.
Right. I swear to God, if you have the medley as your number one, I'm gonna...
No comment.
No comment is right.
No comment. It's up there. I'm not going to say where, but it's up there.
Okay. Hey, fair. Tony, yes, we have talked about tracks from Electric Arguments over the last couple weeks. So, yeah, we have shown some love for the Electric Arguments album. So, absolutely. Okay, 32, buddy.
Back to Wings Over America and the live version of Band on the Run. Again, I would listen to this 10 times more than the studio version, because I just don't want to hear that version anymore. It's too overplayed. You had it in your 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Which Band on the Run? Last week. But I had the studio. Week. Yeah.
You're the studio. Give me the live version, especially when it kicks up into the If I Ever Get Out of Here. It just sounds heavier. The synths are going. It's grittier. You know, it's a grittier. Agreed. Listen to that. It's a much more grittier and heavy. And I never get tired of that version of Band on the Run at all from Wings Over America. So yeah, what else is there to say?
Right. No, good pick. I dig it. Listen, all those tracks on that live album, specifically that live album, are enhanced from the fact that it is live, and you have that energy from the crowd as well. And, you know, and the players, you know, Jimmy and Joe, Denny, I mean, they all just seemed to up their game during that tour, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and Linda as well, you know.
It was the apex of Wings, really. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they did some other good albums, two more good albums, but that was the height of Wings, and I think everybody can agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was your 32?
Yep.
So 32 for me is one of the tracks from one of my favorite tracks from Flaming Pie, and that's Calico Skies. Love is finger picking throughout that track. love the, you know, it was written that I would love you. You know, just love from the moment I opened my eyes. You know, I love the first two verses, you know, specifically, I think are just a knockout. We love them. We incorporated them into our wedding vows.
That's right.
Yeah, so it was really just a touching song from the moment I heard it. I love the falsetto that he uses for that, and he has done that live quite
not
a few times.
It's the same key. The arrangement
same key.
Is different.
Okay, the arrangement is
same
different.
Key. Right. It's a much more, because I think to sing a song in that style like on Flaming Pie would be way too emotional.
Right.
Way too emotional for him to think about that. I mean, Flaming Pie, Linda, there's no way. You watch that documentary, he's sitting there at the fire playing that song as his wife is dying. I mean, come on.
Right.
That's like a tearjerker and a half.
Right. Love you for the rest of my life. I mean, I'll hold
Forget
you
it.
For as long
Forget
as you
it.
Like. I mean, for Forget love it. You as for much as you like. Yeah, I'll hold you for the rest of
that's,
my life.
That is,
you
know, it's goosebump tearjerking music. And
exactly.
But he does a nice rendition of it live. you know, and it's a little, it has a little more energy to it. It's not such a sad song, but it, the message is still there. And I like,
it's not necessarily that it's a long, sad song. It's just a more beautiful, touching song. You know, but when you think about it, yeah, I mean, if he's singing it because of, you know, Linda's, you know, ill situation at that time, it's understandable. Yeah. Then you look at it that way. It's sad. Yeah. But if you just look at it as like, you know, you've been in a relationship for a long time, and it's just more, it's just perfect for a long-term relationship. You know what I mean? But it's a great track no matter what. I think it's one of his best written songs in his career.
Yeah. Agreed. And I'm actually, I did not rank it. Did not have my 101. Wow. That's an oversight, but I'm good for you to have it in there, bud. Yeah. We'll do one more of mine, then we'll do some comments. 31 okay. For me, I'm going with Mamounia from Band on the Run. I absolutely love Mamounia. Somebody mentioned it earlier in the comments, right. I think. I absolutely love the song, you know, with the meaning behind it. I think it was the hotel they stayed at when they were in Africa. With Wings. You know, rain comes, all about the rain, and, you know, the next time you see LA rain clouds. I love the harmonies in it. I love the Moog synthesizer. The last minute and a half of the song is absolutely majestic. You know, the synths are going. The chorus is repeating over and over again. I love Mamounia. It's probably one of my favorite tracks of Man on the Run. That's why.
I mean, I'm kind of like surprised at how highly you speak of that song. I mean, because this isn't the first time that you've spoke this highly about this track.
No, neither. And you're not big into it, right?
No, not very keen on it at all.
that's what's so cool about this, though.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a perfect album closer for side one before you flip it over, which is also. I'm trying to it's the opener of side two. That's right.
Right.
It's the side two opener, which love Mamounia 31.
Yeah. I want to go with Tom's comment here. He said, having seen Wings live in 76, I was really amazed at how hard edge they sounded in concert. And yeah, you definitely get that hard edge. I totally agree, especially when you watch it, you know, on the Blu-ray or DVD.
Yes.
I mean, it's evident and just in the way, you know, they're playing. I mean, you see the energy, throughout the whole show. And yeah, it was really hard. It was a very hard rocking show. Absolutely. I agree with you. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine if you're listening to the albums up to that point, you know, Paul has some good rockers up to that point, but this album, I mean, this whole show was a great hard rocking concert. So yeah. Okay, so we're at 31. And last week you talked about this song, and I had the other version on it, and then I'm, you know, while you were talking about it, I'm like, I have to have this on my list. I have to have it. And that's Sing Along Junk.
Yeah.
So I mean, I did have Junk on there, but then I switched it to Sing Along Junk for all the reasons that you talked about last week. You know, the piano playing is just exquisite. You know, and the acoustic guitar. I mean, you know, everything about this about that track. It's a perfect instrumental, really. In a way that, you know, you can sing along with it. You know what it is. It's super, you know, it might be my favorite instrumental that he's ever done.
It has that lullaby quality, like a lullaby quality to it. It really does.
Yeah, very good point.
When you listen to it, that version of it. I mean, it really is. It's charming. It really is.
It really is. So 31 is a Sing Along Junk.
Let's catch up on some comments here. Paulina's got the Hope of Deliverance, the Steve Anderson remix at 31. Very interesting.
Wow. Okay.
The remix of Hope of Deliverance. I can't say anybody else has had that yet. Beans has got Rain Clouds at 31. Knock Knock's got With a Little Luck. Brad's got One More Kiss. Susan's got the song we were singing, the lead off track from Flaming Pie, of course. Tony's got Wanderlust. Serge has got Don't Let It Bring You Down from London Town.
Mm-hmm.
32 for Beans was Figure of Eight, and Susan had Winterbird When Winter Comes at 32.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. Let's go back just a couple more here. Brad had Girls School at 32. Knock Knock had Love and Song, and Tom Brennan had Some People Never Know, which I think my partner will have up there soon, I think.
Next week, baby.
If I was a betting man, that'll be in there.
And you would win a lot of money.
Yes.
Okay, 30.
30, okay. And then they were 30. Going Venus and Mars, and I'm going with the tribute to Fred Astaire. You gave me the answer.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
At number 30. No surprise with you that like to bust my chops. I absolutely love you. Gave me the answer. Studio or live. I'll go with the proper album version here. I love the 1940s pastiche, everything about it. Open up the loft here and move up right into the piano. Everything. You'll never be crowned by the aristocracy to their delight. You merely invite them in for a cup of tea. I love that stuff. I can't get enough of it. And then even live to the point that was made before. I mean, just come back and make sure.
Shall we dance?
Tom saw wings. Even you gave me the answer live.
Right.
Is a little more rockier.
Ballsy.
Yes. I love it. Right. I absolutely love you gave me the answer. I was going to put it in the top 20, but I might get crucified for that. I'll put it in the top 30. So. Right.
Oh man, nice pick. Wow, that's a deep one, brother. That's a deep one. 30 for me. Getting down to the last 10 of the day here. Getting closer. I know you had this one last week.
Yeah.
This one this week. I think probably the best rocker on Back to the Egg. And I just love the hardness of this one. The salamander bit that doesn't bother me at all. No. My salamander, who cares?
Watching my windscreen wipers, which are just windshield wipers for us Yanks.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, a lot of great stuff on this. Say you don't love him, my Santa Leonard. I'm getting closer. I love the chorus, like, I'm getting closer, and to your heart. I love the harmonies on that, to your heart bit.
Closer,
how he's just screaming it at
now
the
he's,
end.
Now he's in screaming.
Yeah.
And then, so good.
Yeah, moving my windshield wipers. Yeah, it's just, some fun lyrics. Do they make sense for us Yanks? Probably not as much as they do.
Radio play me a danceable oat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I love Getting Closer. One of my favorite rockers from Paul and Wings, if you will. Lawrence, kills it on that one with this guitar. Getting closer, 30.
Okay. 29. I'm going with a B-side. From the early 80s, and it is a favorite of my co-host. I think he's gonna have it much higher than this, but I had to get in there somewhere, and I'm going with I'll Give You a Ring, the B-side to Take It Away. Now I know he has this song.
What number is that?
29.
29, okay.
I'll Give You a Ring. At 29. Okay. Now, I'm sure you have it higher. I've been in love with I'll Give You a Ring. When I bought the 12-inch B-side, the 12-inch Take It Away at a Beatle Fest probably 25 years ago. Didn't know the song. Put the 12-inch home, and I'm like, what the hell is this? This is fantastic. Absolutely loved it. Piano opens up. Lonely. I'm like, this is good.
Tell me where to meet you.
I'm like, oh my God, this is great. And then it cuts to the, whoa, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. It was like, what am I listening to? This is like great, great stuff. I absolutely love it. I'll Give You a Ring. One of his best B-sides ever. I'm very curious where you have it in your list. I was thinking about that when I was doing this.
Right.
It goes back to as early as 1974.
He's performed it live. He's performed it. I think it was one on the radio. Was One Hand Clapping he performed it on?
He was on. He plays a little bit of
it. It was Mike Medley. Yeah, it was Mike Medley on One Hand Clapping, wasn't it?
It was a part of One Hand Clapping, the film. Yeah. Finally got the light of day as a B-side. Could have even been on Tug of War. I mean, no, we could have dropped, we could have dropped Be What You See. We could have thrown that on there. Beans has it much higher. Beans has it higher as well too. We'll see. But that's my 29.
Okay. Sticking with non-album B-sides, for my 29, this is my second favorite non-album B-side, and it's the B-side to Take It Away, and it's I'll Give You a Ring. So we actually had the same.
We did. Holy
yes,
crap.
Yes, yes. So
we had the same ranking for this?
Yes. Wow. We had the same ranking for this. And I wonder if this was going to happen at all. And yeah, right there. All the reasons you said, I just love the word, the play on words for this one. You know, ring as a phone call, you know, ring as a, you know, wedding ring, you know, and like the oh, yeahs, like you said too. I just love that. Yeah. Wow. We have a tie. That's right. That's right, Kit. We do. Yeah. But I'll Give You a Ring. It's just such a great track. Great poppy, catchy song. And I just
nice love
his
clarinet, his little clarinet, little yeah, clarinet yeah. solo on there as well, too,
yeah.
right?
Tell me where to reach. Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, whoa, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh. No, love I it. Won't be lonely
love
anymore.
It. Linda's on it. I mean, it's yeah. it is fantastic. It's a B-side, but it's just so damn good. Really damn shame that it took the archive release of 2015 of Tug of War for that to actually right. get a CD release. And that did not get a release on CD until 2015. That's criminal.
No. What was it not on the 93?
Nope.
They didn't have any bonus tracks on that one, did they?
Nope. No bonus tracks on the 93 Tug of War. It was not on CD until 2015. Right. And that was a shame.
Yeah, it was a shame. So 29, I'll Give You a Ring for all the reasons why you said. I mean, you talked about it perfectly.
Double check here. No bonus tracks on the 93.
Right. Good.
Wow, that was the first time we've actually tied, right?
Yeah, I think we had like one like almost tied, close. But yeah, it was close. Right. So okay. That is where are we at?
28. Okay, so I'm going back to Flowers in the Dirt, but it really originates much earlier than that. I'm going with Mama's Little Girl, which was actually an old Wings.
Oh,
song.
Beautiful. Yes, beautiful.
Mama's Little Girl would have sat nicely, fitting perfectly on Wildlife.
Like a rag doll.
Oh God, you know it would have been perfect on Wildlife, really, or Speedway. Actually, right. It's all reconstructed. Actually,
it's on actually two. It's on Ram and it is on Red Rose Speedway.
Right. So they threw it on both. A great You're song. Right. You hear a little snip of it if you've seen the James Paul McCartney special. I'll take he's right. playing a little bit of that at the rat.
Right.
God, one of those just great little acoustic ballads. You know, you better give me some time. I love all that. You better give me some time with the hardest mind. I love it.
Right.
Obviously written about his kids.
Remember
yeah.
girl.
And it was cleaned up. It was cleaned up quite nicely for that release on the Put It There single in 1990. Right. It was much better. The bootlegs that were out before then were really, but it was cleaned up quite nice when it was on when it was released for the single for that as well.
The harmonies on that. Ooh, Mama's Little Girl.
Well,
you know are great. You know, so I think that's a great pick. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, partner.
That's your 28, right?
Yep, 28.
Okay, my 28. Is the highest ranking non-album B-side. This is my favorite non-album B-side. And
go ahead.
And what does she get for all the love she gave?
We're getting scary close here now.
Right. But Daytime Nighttime Suffering, I've got that at 28. What does she get for all the love she gave you? And I love the, you know, no sea, no shore, no, you know, no sand, you know,
call
no
and response.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No fairy tales anymore. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And you hear a young James River. McCartney. Yeah. You hear a young James McCartney crying in the background that he kept on recording.
Yeah.
You do.
You do. I just, you know, the whole thing I love Daytime Nights I'm Suffering. That's the B-side to Good Night Tonight. And I think I could have had it higher, but it's a great track.
Oh, well, it was a worthy ranking. And yeah. I know it was in the Flowers in the Dirt tour book, all the band members were asked their favorite Paul McCartney song. Linda said Daytime, Nighttime Suffering was hers. So, and it's one that they clearly both love.
It's a great women champion song. You know, it's a champion song for women, you know, in a way of maybe, you know, Woman is the End of the World was for women as well. Just more, a little bit more accessible, you know, if you will.
Right. And then how good is the ending too? Just it builds up and then it quietly fades out. What does she get for all the love she gave? Boom. And it opens and ends the same way. How great is that? Opens and closes with the same line.
Yes.
Brilliant. Agreed.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yes. Yeah.
Very worthy ranking. And it's funny you mentioned that song because my 27 is the flip side of that song, which would be Good Night Tonight.
Good.
At 27. I was like, whoa, we're getting close here.
Right.
I went with the 12-inch version single, the extended cut, the full 7-minute version of Good Night Tonight, not the 3-minute version that's on all the compilations, the full, you know, the extended cut that's out there, that, you know, I guess that's the disco mix it's known as. It's not really a disco song. Man, what a great song. Opens up with that Spanish guitar, and then one of the catchiest bass lines of all McCartney's career. Boom, ba-doom, boom, ba-doom, boom, right. Ba-doom. I mean, oh, yeah. I mean, played it live in 79, played it live in 2012 as well. Briefly, with some charity event thing that he played at, not a full version, but Good Night Tonight. Oh man. Just again, should he have put it on Back to the Egg? Who knows? Probably not, but I mean, I'm curious to see where Tom has it. If I'm sure he does, I'm sure. I'm sure he, I would hope he does. I would hope he does, but Good Night Tonight. Yeah. I don't view it as a disco song. I really don't. I never have.
No, I mean, it's a dance song, yes, but it's not like disco. You know?
You know, don't say it. I mean, it's a simple song, and it's catchy as hell.
Right. Catchy. Absolutely. Very catchy. Very catchy. Matter of fact, it was so, you know, he was so moved that, you know, by it that I think he started recording this in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the night. I think he went very early in the morning to start working on this track. I think it's probably a night out. I mean, it was probably, he was probably at a disco that night and he went into the studio, you know, not too long after and laid down a track, you know, laid it down. 27 for me. And this is Kid O'Toole's favorite track. She loves this song, and she just she never stops talking about this song. And that's from Venus and Mars, and that's Magnificent.
Did it occur to me?
To me,
you couldn't be bad.
Magneto was mad. Titanium too.
And the Crimson Dynamo is coming for you. Right. Coming for you, Kid.
Just couldn't cut it no more. You were love Magneto and Titania, man. Great solo by Jimmy. Some of the best backing vocals I think of any Wings song. There's just some tremendous backing vocals throughout this track.
Yeah,
and it's very poppy, it's very catchy to my ears, maybe not to Kit's ears, unfortunately. I'm going with the Venus and Mars one, even though I really love the Wings Over America version. I mean, that's just as
good, but the album version kicks ass too. It really does.
Yeah, it does.
Well, you know, did it occur to me? You couldn't be bad. Titanium too. I mean, I love that.
Exactly.
Love that.
You were the law. That's right, Beans. And then they showed the picture of Magneto and Titanium Man in the background by Jack Kirby. Absolutely. The artist, the genius artist that created so many wonderful comic heroes and villains. So Magneto and Titanium Man, my 27.
He's a 5-star criminal breaking a code. So good. So good.
I love it. Magneto said, now the time has come. Together our horses and run.
Whoa, no. All that stuff.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's again, I'm pissed. I didn't have that song picked in my ranking. Now I wish I did. Good job, brother.
I would be willing to bet that Kid O'Toole didn't have this song in her ranking.
No, she definitely didn't. Ah, there she is.
Yeah, whatever.
Wait, I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna play it, Kit. Hold on, give me a minute.
No.
For a second, just for you. Hold on. I have it. I gotta play it just for a second. The YouTube police won't catch us. Hold on. Just for the queen, because she's there. Hold on. And it's her favorite. Hold on. Just for you, Kit. I was talking to Kit last night.
That's funny.
Let's catch up on some comments here.
Right.
Knock Knock got Beware My Love Studio or Live at 27. Polina's got coming up, Nebworth version. Chasso's got For You from Egypt Station.
Oh, nice.
A real song for a change. Tony DeMeo's got Venus Mars Rock Show Jet Medley from Venus from Wings Over America. Gene's got Press, and they're not ashamed. You shouldn't be.
No, you shouldn't. No, absolutely not.
Tom Brennan's got Tomorrow at 27. Susan had Jenny Wren. Brad's got Temporary Secretary in there at 27. Serge has got Oh Woman, Oh Why at 27. Beans had 1985 at 28.
Wow.
So there we go.
Nice.
Thanks. Very nice. You're quite welcome, Kit. Anytime. One goes out to you. If you ever have any kind of role for him to play that song and he plays it, I'll die.
Yeah. I think we're at 26, partner.
26. Going with the 1982, and I'm going with the album opener, Tug of War.
Oh, okay.
Tug of War. I was hemming and hawing about putting this in my top 20. Classic McCartney, George Martin production, strings, everything about it. McCartney's back, you know, and it was one of the strongest album openers of his entire career. You hear the guys tugging, opening up the song, right into the song acoustically.
Right.
You know, it's a tug of war with one thing and another, it's a tug of war. And then boom, when it crashes right into that thing in years to come, they may discover what the, you know, what the lively lead are all about, but it won't be soon enough for me. Man, that's goosebumps. That's goosebumps moment right there.
You know, unfortunately, I didn't have it in my 101. Maybe mainly because I'm not the biggest fan of the pushing and pulling. You know, that kind of just like a little cringeworthy, I think. But a great song. Don't get me wrong. But I just wish they didn't. I wish they would just take that bit out.
That part.
Yeah,
you never
pushing and the pulling. Yeah.
You didn't like that part of the song?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that part. No.
Interesting. I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Tug of War at 26.
26. Okay. 26 for me is the single that never was on Wildlife, and that's Tomorrow.
We know
that Love is Strange, backed by I Am Your Singer, was a proposed single that was going to come out for Wildlife. You know, they dropped it. I think the smarter heads prevailed on that one, because I don't think that would have gone anywhere. Unfortunately, however, I think Tomorrow might be the most commercial track on that album.
Three minute pop single would have worked.
Exactly. And I just love the story. You know, Weatherman, don't you know, help us not change a plan. Lyrics from Paul. And great backing vocals from the band on this one too. The backing vocals on this track are amazing.
And they were still developing their sound at this point in time too.
Yes.
So the sound really wasn't, the Wing sound really didn't become fully developed till much later a little bit, but really Denny and Paul and Linda, you know, obviously in those early days, it worked with a song like Tomorrow, you know?
Right.
And of course, great, great rocking end, you know, baby, don't let me down
tomorrow. You know, the oohs and ahs, you know, throughout that one are excellent. Lyrically, I think it's one of the better tracks on Wildlife as well. So I dig this one. This is, you know, my second favorite track on Wildlife. We'll have to wait till next week to get my favorite.
Yeah, we know what that is. Shocker. Here's a clue for you all.
Yeah. Joe Wisby's here. How you doing, Joe? Nice to see you here.
Hey, Joe Wisby. How are you? Let's see. 25. All right. We're getting down to the five more left here. Four more left. I'm going with Ram and the song that was talked about earlier, which seemed to be everybody's favorite on Fab Gab, and that's Eat at Home.
Wow.
Eat at Home for me has been one of my all-time favorite McCartney songs, all-time favorite songs on Ram. I love the Buddy Holly aspect of it. You know, I love the Buddy Holly aspect of it. I mean,
come on, little lady.
Hold up, even the O's, you know. All very Buddy Holly. But the key change, I love, so the verses are great, and then it goes right to the chorus. You know, bring the love that you feel for me. Oh, man. Right. That part is absolute gold.
Now you're going with the studio version, right?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Yeah. See, now if I had that on my list, I would have definitely gone with the live version on that one.
The one from Wings Over Europe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and that was great too, and that was awesome to hear, and so cleaned up and so well done.
Right. Exactly.
But, again, Linda just sings so well on that, backing vocals on that track. Mm. Perfect. Good little guitar solo in it. You know, and then it just, it's awesome. I mean, I don't really, again, that's one of those cases where I don't really worry too much about Eat at Home. Who cares? It's the song.
Yeah, but there's the hitting meaning in that. I mean, you know what the hitting meaning is, right? The Eat at Home part of it?
No.
Okay, we'll talk about that after.
Okay. I don't get it. I just like the song.
Right.
The song. I don't, again, I really don't try to interpret lyrics with him.
Right.
It sounds good. And
gotcha.
And I've absolutely loved Eat at Home for many, many years.
There's Eat at Home, let's eat in bed. Okay. I'll end it right there.
Okay.
Okay. So
hold on. A lot of people on the Fab Gab stream gave Eat at Home a low ranking, which some people must. Hiya, Tim Allen.
How are you, brother? Tim. Well, at least you're here, buddy. 25
for you.
25 for me. We're going with a very beautiful track from Chaos and Creation, and that is This Never Happened Before. Just a very powerful, moving ballad. I definitely put this one up there in the higher ups on Paul's ballads. You know, Maybe I'm Amazed, My Love, No More Lonely Nights. I think
you have it in that top tier one.
Oh, that top tier ballad. This is a top tier ballad for me, absolutely. When it comes to This Never Happened Before, very, very sets the tone. I love the opening piano licks. I mean, it really gets the mood of the song going. I mean, this is kind of like one of those candlelight, stay at home, romantic night songs, and it's just very moving. And I just love, I'm very sure this never happened. I love the lyrics to this one. I'm so moved every time I hear this track. You know, it's just,
I love the swirling. I love the swirling crescendo finish of this song. And I talked about it. I had it ranked, I think, 2 weeks ago. I think maybe or a week ago. Mm. I forget. But I all for the same reason. It's a beautiful song. But you really think highly of it. It's like top. Yeah. You have it on that No More Lonely Nights, Maybe I'm Amazed level.
Yeah. Again, I love the end of it. You know, This Never Happened Before, you know, following, you know, echoed with that, you know, and the ends of the track, you know, and it's just, it's a perfect ballad, in my opinion, from Paul. And 25, This Never Happened Before. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to finish up for a few. 24, we're going back to Wings Over America, the live version. I know my partner has this song next week. He already told me, but I couldn't fit it anywhere, but I had to get it in here lower 20s. And that is the live version of Silly Love Songs. And again, I love the studio version. It's great. And I'm sure Tom will talk more about that next week, but the live version, I'll go on YouTube and watch sections of this song live over and over again, certain parts of the song. I will go on and I'll replay certain sections of it because everything about this performance of Silly Love Songs from Wings Over America, from start to finish, it's freaking phenomenal. It's the Rickenbacker bass, which he is just slaying it on, okay?
Right.
On this particular version, okay, when it gets to the break, you know, Love Doesn't Come in a Minute, that part of the song is ridiculous.
Sometimes it doesn't come at all, yeah.
But, watch him when he finishes the line and he struts off playing the bass when he walks over to Jimmy McCullough.
Right.
Ridiculously good.
And you know, the promotional video or promotional film for this is very fitting, you know, on the road, because you know this album, you know, came out in between the, you know, the two tour. I mean, same tour, yeah, but different years, you know, 75,
right?
And you know, you got the 76. But perfect video. I thought the, you know, being out on the road, I just love the live rendition of this. Yeah, I mean, I did pick the studio version, you know, just for a little, you know, heads up for next week. But again, they perfected the song. It was perfection live.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the beginning, you hear those, I don't know what those are, those chains. Yeah. You hear those chains start. Right. It's like,
yeah, like a train. Like, yeah.
Right. And boom. And it just hits you right in the face for like 6 minutes, just nonstop, you know? Mm. You know, he's like calling out to the audience, sing it if you know it, you know? And you get the old guy singing the song. Incredible. Right. I can't, the live version of Silly Love Songs, I could never get tired of listening to it. Ever.
It was the perfect single for that time. It was the perfect single to start off the kickoff, the U.S. leg of the tour. I think it just gave that tour that more energy. You got this such a great song, number one song. And I think it was just, you know, another highlight of the tour. Absolutely.
And I talked to my father all the time about this, who saw the Wings Over America tour in Chicago in 76, two shows. And I'm like, wasn't it great? And he's like, yeah, it was good. I'm like, but he played all these songs. And like, it's just, I can't sometimes believe when I talk to him, I'm like, how did you not go crazy for this? It's just, he didn't, obviously wasn't as big a McCartney fan as I am, but he went.
Mm. Well, I'm glad he went. I mean, that's cool.
Oh, very cool. So jealous. Oh,
yeah. God. Oh, I bet. I mean, I mean, who wouldn't be?
Well, part of me was there.
Yeah. 24.
No, 20. Yeah, you're 24 for you.
Yeah, 24 for me. I'm going to Venus and Mars. Now, again, I could have picked the Wings Over America version. This was the number one hit from Venus and Mars, and that's Listen to What the Man Said. I love the, you know, hey, Harry, it's good to be back in, you know, New Orleans. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which you don't get. I mean, I think they cut that for the single. You don't get that. You didn't get that in, you know, any other compilation.
Anything.
You sure the hell didn't get the song on Wings Greatest. You know,
oh well, we know that yeah, the biggest blunder ever.
Biggest blunder ever. You know, how can you forget a number one hit? Listen to What the Man Said is my 24. I think again, that's a perfect pop song. Simple. You know, whoa, I love sometimes I love when he does the woes in the live version, and sometimes I hate it.
Oh, know? Really?
Whoa, yeah. Whoa, those? Yeah. When he, yeah. Yeah, when he's going, whoa, yeah, in the live version, which which is a little irritating because he doesn't do that in the studio version.
The live version is much faster.
No, it is. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but again, I love that little snippet at the beginning of Listen to What the Man Says, and I love the, you know, the wonder of it all, the close to close the album. Yeah, you know, Soldier Boy kisses girl, leaves behind a tragic world. You know, again, simple lyrics, and then I love the whoa, yes indeed, we know we people know. Find, you know, what way to go. No, you know, no matter what the man said.
It's perfect. Yeah. Again,
love is fine. For all we know, our love will grow. You know,
that was a perfect, you know, song for the summer of 75, pop perfection. Right. You know, almost called that, it's like almost called sunshine pop in a conversation we had there with Stephen Schnee.
Very
sunshine pop. I know, I know for a fact, my dad told me again the story. And again, I talk about my dad a lot because he's the inspiration for me. He said that in the summer of 75, you could turn your radio dial to every different station and that song would be on. It would end on one, and you'd hear it on another. And I'm sure old people here watching would probably can share that same sentiment. It was everywhere that summer of 75.
Yep. Yeah. Knock Knock. Love the video. Silly Love Song, showing the band being at the Big Tire in my hometown of Michigan, I-94. We get the Big Tire, which inside is a Ferris wheel. If people don't know that, but yeah, love that shot as well. Always love passing that damn Big Tire every time we're either going north or south. I don't care. I just love it's one of the cool things. Whenever I do go to Michigan now, it's just, you know, something that I just love seeing. I love seeing that Big Tire when I'm driving to see family. But yeah, so 24 for me is Listen to What the Man Said.
All right, we got three left. 23 for me, a B-side. Okay, but going back to 1971, I'm going with the B-side to Another Day, and that would be A Woman, Oh Why.
Oh, Why. Yep.
Oh, boy. This one's a doozy of a song, man. Doozy of a song. So much going on in this song.
Right.
Paul rocking out, screaming his head off.
Yes.
Screaming his head off in
a
way.
A la Old Darling.
The Old Darling, Paul. That's exactly what this is. You know, but I can't get by. My hands are tied. Yeah. All that. I mean, incredible. Incredible. You know, and it would not have been out of place on Ram. It really would not.
No, it would not. No, not at all. That and I love the shooting of the gun, the gun effect. In the track too. Yeah, great pick.
Woman,
yeah.
What have you done? Oh my God. Did you pick this yet or no?
I did not.
Okay. You didn't pick it at all, or
No. I like the song, but I don't love it.
Okay. I thought you were big on this one.
No, I mean, I like it, but it's not something that I love to death, like some, you know.
I love it. It opens up drums. Boom.
Right.
Boom. It just starts, right in the spirit of what the Ram sessions are. It would have been perfect on there.
I just love the opening "Oh Woman, Oh Why" from Paul. Right. It's just a great vocal track.
A great exercise in his vocal abilities for sure on that track.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm glad. You know, yeah, I'm glad it's getting some love because I think I have seen it a couple times today already in the rankings. So from a bunch of our fine listeners
and viewers.
And viewers, so thank you very much for giving that song some love because it definitely deserves some love. It is a great non-album B-side. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Go ahead, partner. 23.
Okay, 23 for me. We're going to the 78. We're going with the Good Night Tonight. Is that 79? 79. Thank you. We're going with Good Night Tonight. Again, I think this is another pop perfection song from Paul that should have been a number one hit. I don't know how it didn't get to number one because
the standard single or the full.
Yeah, the standard single. We'll go with the regular 7-inch single. I think this is pop perfection. Again, this was, not necessarily disco, it was the sound of that era. I think this was definitely a great dance track. I mean, the bass line is terrific. I love the the whole I love his vocals while he's saying don't get too tired for love. Don't let it in.
Yep.
And then the woo. The backing vocals from that are terrific. I think the only thing I don't like about this song is the sticks. Other than that, vocally it's terrific. Backing vocals are terrific, and I love the arrangement on that one.
Stupidly, I don't know why do they throw it on this though? Why do they put Goodnight Tonight on as a bonus track on the 93s?
Right.
I do not understand that. Put that sucker on Back to the Egg where it belongs.
Right. But then what's on the Back to the Egg though?
93. Daytime, Nighttime Suffering, Wonderful Christmas Time.
See, it should have been the other way around.
No, they both should have been on here as bonus tracks.
Wonderful Christmas Time should have been on the McCartney 2 with Goodnight Tonight being on Back to the Egg. They should have flip-flopped that.
Yeah, but Wings did a video for Wonderful Christmas Time, so I understand why that's on here.
Okay.
Wings did a video for that.
Yes, they did, but it's not a Wings track. I mean, that's all McCartney.
It is, but he did a promotional video with them, so I understand its inclusion in it. But then throwing it, but I do get your point. It was a solo song. Throw it on this. Throw it on McCartney too. But why they just lump that on here? I'll never understand that. And And again, more versions available. Not yet.
Right.
Oh. Getting down there.
So 23, if you want to check out some comments there, and we'll do the last two.
Yep. Gene's got London Town at 23. Good. Pop done right. Lawrence Juber's flamingo guitar is the cherry on top. Spot on, Queen. Tony, they needed a good song on McCartney too. Hey, there's plenty of good songs on McCartney too. Come on now. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Tony's got long-haired lady at 22. Knock, knock, had another day. Kelly had Junior's fam at 23. Susan had Pipes of Peace at 23.
Very good.
Tugs at the heartstrings. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Tom Brennan's got Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People at 23.
Excellent.
Serge has got Ballroom Dancing, the Broad Street version.
Wave that sword.
Wave the sword. Look, kids. Paulina looking for changes. A lot of a couple off the ground picks from Paulina tonight. Mm-hmm. You must love that, Tom. Brad has the mess at 23.
Love it.
Tony's
oh,
got
sweet darling.
1985 at 23. And Paulina, what you just saw, you just mentioned, listen to what the man said, is she has his number three. So that's
love it. That's out. Great.
Hard
that's
to pick awesome. Songs when you all love them.
Right.
Hard to yes. pick them.
Hard to 22. Pick them.
22. It's funny. Tom Brennan just mentioned it is 23. It is my 22. And that is Treat Gently, Lonely People. Oh, the album closes from Venus and Mars. Well, the prop album
sits. Right.
Well, you know, Crossroads really is the closer, but love the fade out of listening to what the man said right into right. Treat Her Gently. Again, the 2-for-1 special. You got right. the 2-for-1 special
here.
Here
we sit. Yeah.
Yeah. You get the 2-for-1 special here with two songs in one, yep. Which is just so, done so well. Great ballad. Love it. Loved it for a long time. You know, Old People's Home for the Day. Nobody asked us to play. Right, it just fades right. out, you know, everything about it. And again, it's just, you know, it's a joke, really. You know, Paul just kind of taking the mickey out of people there a little bit right. in the UK with that right. track.
I prefer the Treat Her Gently bit over the Two Lonely Old People.
Right.
Myself. Right. But I just love the vocals that, you know, his vocals on Treat Her Gently. I think they're great.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Treat Her Gently. Here We Sit. You know, all that. Yeah. I love great, great closer on a great album for sure.
Yeah. Great pick. Great pick. 22 for me is the other great. I don't know if you say ballad, but the pick me up song from Chaos, and that's Too Much Rain. You know, just another great lyric song from Paul. You know, laugh when your eyes are crying, you know, sigh, you know,
smile when your heart is full of pain.
Yeah, exactly. Again, perfect lyrics to this one. I love the, you know, and it's kind of mellow ish. It's kind of moody. You know, Too Much Rain is just beautiful. It's a track that I think is very much appreciated on Chaos and Creation. I think a lot of people sing its praises.
Rightly so.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I love the opening to it. I like the way he sings it as well.
And it's a song. I know you've been fond of that one. We talked about it over the years with Too Much Rain. It's a song that suits that mood perfectly. You know, smile when your heart is full of pain. You know,
I love the two. It's too much for anyone.
Who wants
a happy and peaceful life? Yeah.
You've got to learn.
You got to learn to laugh.
When that's a universal,
truth. Yeah,
that's a universal truth. You got to learn to laugh at yourself.
Yeah, learn to laugh
and not take yourself so seriously. And that song, great spot pick. I knew it would be high in your ranking, and rightly so. Great song, great song.
Yeah, Tom. 22, Too Much Rain.
This one for me. you're not gonna like this because I think you have it way higher. But I'll take my lashings. Anyway, 21. My last pick for tonight is Take It Away from Tug of War. You never know who may be listening to you.
That's right. That's
man, right. Love Take It Away. The Wing song, I mean, it was tried as a Wing song. Paul rehearsed it with them quite a bit. It didn't really materialize as a Wing song. And then it fully gets together with Martin in 81 and Montserrat, and they put it together for Tug of War. And again,
I think Juper said that all of those songs that they rehearsed that ended up on like Pipes of Peace and Tug of War. He said that they weren't really band songs. You know what I mean? So they worked better on these albums than they probably would have on a Wings album.
Yeah, I mean, during that bootleg's available. It's called When It Rains, It Pours, and all those songs from this period, Take It Away. you know, you could hear Paul walking the band through these arrangements of like Average Person and Keep Undercover.
Right.
Takes and takes and takes and takes with the 79 lineup. Take It Away included. But as far as the song Take It Away, well, I mean, come on. It's classic McCartney at his best. You know, a single that did very well. What did you know off the top of your head what it went to, Tom?
It was a top 10. I think it was number 10 exactly.
Number 10 song. I mean, everything about it. I like the single edit of it too, because it has that clean opening without the strings from Tug of War attached to it. It just opens up with the just Ringo and Steve Gadd doing their drumming on it.
I love that opening for that song. I love the two with the drumming on. Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, Paul on the bass. You know, and I get everything about it. The story in the song, okay, is basically Paul talking about the story of the Beatles. You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, you know, man with a paper in his pan and a hand. Everything about it is he's retelling the Beatles story, you know, even down to the video with John Hurt portraying the manager, the impresario with a paper in his hand. Everything about that is, you know, and they go to the shooting of the film and the band's playing there. I mean, it's basically Paul retelling the Beatles story and Take It Away. Eric Stewart on it, you know.
Yes.
So you've got that 10cc effect with the eyes.
That's right at the end. Yes, perfect. Good point, because, you know, you got that also in I'm Not in Love as well, you know. And I think you also get that on a Billy Joel track too. She's Always a Woman, I think.
Yep. Everything about it, though, it's 3.5-4 minutes a song, you know, Take It Away, boom, boom, everything about it, After Hour, everything. Visually, it's a song that works very well. It's one of his better lyrics. I don't know if it's in the lyrics book. I hope it is. It really should be. It's one of his better ones. I love Take It Away. Tom, I think, likes it even more than I do.
Oh, a lot more.
Yeah, I figured that. I figured that. You know, but everything about it, you know, great McCartney vocal on it, you know, starts out slow, builds up to this big thing, and then the horns that take you out. Love it. Love, Take It Away. The Billy Joel song was
Just the Way You Are. Thank you, Paulina. Absolutely. Yep. Perfect. Yeah, that's the one. Thank you for that, Paulina. 21 for me, I'm closing it out with Early Days from New. You know, I think this is probably my second favorite track from New. I'll have my favorites next week. Again, I love this song mostly because obviously we know his vocals aren't great on this track, but I think that's the charm of this track is the rough elder McCartney vocals looking back at his youth. You know, and I think that's really where the great effect pull at your kind of like heartstrings, maybe a little bit, but you know, reliving those early days, you know, with him and John, and then the kind of like the pushback to the critics where everybody seems to have their own opinions of who did this,
who did that. Well, I'm gonna tell you how it was, which is kind of why I like this interview that he just did, because that's him saying what he's saying. You know,
right? No, and I get it. And again, you know, it's more or less the vocals that really get me, you know, on this. And I think the producer, whose name is left me at the moment, that produced
Ethan,
this track.
I have to go back and check.
You know, maybe. But he was like, I'll you know, Paul's you right like, now. Paul's like, no, I can sing this better. And he goes, you won't, you know.
I'll just take a quick look here at the old new song booklet here, because that was the album he had three producers on, right? So
four,
either Ronson or Ethan Johns. Let's take
Giles Martin.
Giles, the early days. Of course, Paul with these damn notes. It's hard to read. Early days. Ethan Johns.
Ethan Johns. There you go.
Ethan Johns. Glenn is his son. You know. I can't argue with that pick. The timing of that release of that song, I know Mark Lewisohn took that to heart a little bit because the first volume of Tune In came out came out around the same time. And I know Mark felt a little bit, is he taking the piss out of me a little bit here? Because here I am, you know, so I don't know. I hope not. I mean, you know, Mark has done some great work for the Beatles over the years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's too bad that he's not really in the inner circle anymore. No, but that doesn't mean he still can't be a fan, which he is, because obviously he's given his life, you know, the bulk of his life to writing and researching this band. So, you know, if anybody knows the Beatles, I think it'll be Mark Lewisohn for sure.
Absolutely.
Right. But before everybody takes off, I really, you know, again, thank you everybody for joining us tonight for part four. I do want to announce that for part five next week, which we're shooting for November 2nd, which would be a Tuesday. Okay. You know, right around probably the 7:30 PM Eastern time. But we're going to have some friends join us. I really want to show my appreciation for people coming on and participating. So I've gotten in contact with a couple people, and there's probably going to be anywhere between 6 to 9 of us, depending on if people can join us. But again, it's going to be November 2nd, Tuesday, November 2nd, roughly around 7:30 PM Eastern time. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing the top 20 to 1, and I'm really looking forward to hearing everybody's top 20, their 20 favorite McCartney songs. And this is just going to be really exciting for both of us, and to do it with some fans that who have been with us for a long time, and just to show our appreciation. It's just going to be a highlight for me. So again, thank you to everybody out there. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to our channel. It's continuing to grow every week. So really happy with the progress, and I'm really happy with Andy's been able to do some more work with on the YouTube. Now we're posting, you know, you're able to make some posts on YouTube now. And we also now can go live whenever we want to on the YouTube app, right?
Right from our phones. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, from our phones. Yeah, there you go. Because I think they stopped doing that a while back, and they made it to where you have to have so many views or something like that.
Hours.
There you go. Yeah. So now we qualify for that feature, which is nice. So if I'm ever in a record store and I want to, or same with Andy, if we're either in a record store and we want to go live on YouTube and, you know, just talk or whatever, it'll be fun. But yeah, so that's next week for part five, which is going to be the top 20. Stay tuned for Ubuntu on the next
day. Yeah.
All right.
Some folks say Ubu.
Ubu. Yes, that's right. So again, thank you everybody for joining us. Andy, anything you want to chime on before we sign off?
No, it's been a pleasure, man. Four weeks down of this epic list, which was been so hard to do. You hear these songs that you didn't pick, that you wish you picked, and then you got to just throw your hands up in the air sometimes and just go with your heart with some of these songs.
Exactly. And you know the ones that you tend to listen to the most. I'm sure you have a handful of tracks that you know that you've listened to more than others. Wouldn't you say, Andy?
I think that's pretty much, you're going to listen to a certain song, and you know, the ones that you play the most are going to be the ones that are going to be in your top 20. That's just how it's going to be.
Exactly. That's right. So as soon as we sign off, if you want to add this round's 20 in the comments, please do, so we can take a look at them again, because you know the comments go so fast during this live edition that we want to make sure that we take all of your lists in. So again, please, once we're off line here, or if you want to wait till tomorrow, whatever, add your 20 in this round in the comment sections, and we'll take a look at them and maybe make a comment or two. So everybody, again, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody out there, Susan, Robert, Paulina, Andrea, Tony, Tom, you know, Beans, you know, on and
knock,
on and
knock,
on.
Knock. Nelly, exactly. Tony, Serge, Farrell, Tim Serge, Allen.
Thank you. Yeah, Tim Allen, Kelly, absolutely. Kelly, Robert.
Kelly Smith, everybody, Brad, everybody. Trying to make sure we get everybody.
A couple
thank
Toms,
you for tuning in.
Yes, exactly. So everybody out there, peace. Have a great day and a beautiful night, and we will talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.